I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 121 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And I'm with
Mr. Kelvin Newman, and you are Mr. Andy White, I believe.
I am Mr. Andy White.
Unless you've changed your name since we last spoke.
I was going to say that, ladies and gentlemen, but I was beaten to the post. It's a question and answers day today, and I have in front of me several sheets of paper with three questions on. Let's start with the first one. Let's get straight into it. This is from Mike Rodriguez. Mike Rodriguez. Is that right? Have I said that correctly?
Yes, I think that sounds about right.
I'm not quite sure where he's from, so I'll just skip over that. Can you give advice on how you organise your internet marketing techniques? For example, your technique for using the Venn diagram is wonderful. I just don't have a great system aside from categorising my bookmarks to someday retrieve his nugget of information. I tried writing checklists in Backpack, but I'm not feeling it. Thanks for your advice, Mrod.
Ah, it's an interesting question, yeah.
Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah. I think the only one I could pull you up on, I think it's a Venn diagram rather than a Venn diagram.
I think it is a Venn diagram, V-E-N-N.
Yeah, yes. So Michael's talking there about kind of one of the screencasts that we shared on sitevisibility.co.uk where it was showing how you can look at overlap in backlink portfolios. So if there's four websites that are all similar to yours, and you look at each of their links individually, that can tell you interesting things. But if you look at all of them together and see who linked to all four of them, they're probably the people you ought to be contacting because they're kind of maybe hubs in the world. And I suppose what Michael's question is, he found that really interesting, really enjoyed it. But then what? Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of couple of months later, you might half remember something. Oh, where could I use that? Or how do you kind of take these various ideas that you'll find from podcasts like this, websites that are out there, blogs and all these types of things and ideas that come to you and try and turn them into an internal process? And the answer is it's tricky. I think the idea of bookmarking is a really good place to start. I'm quite a big fan of Delicious, actually, in terms of using Delicious and trying to be quite structured and rigorous with yourself in terms of trying to keep to a pattern on that. So if you find something interesting, you tag it in Delicious and then you kind of keep a code. So if it's a kind of ideas for when I've got to come up with a strategy, you kind of call it strategy ideas. Or if it's a tool that helps with keyword research, you have a keyword tool. You know, just trying to be consistent about that. So what that means is when you're faced with that problem, you refer back to the web pages or podcast episodes or whatever it is that you've used there. Now, that's Delicious is one option. I know a lot of people, I don't personally use this, but Evernote?
Yeah, I was going to mention Evernote. My friend Nick Butler's an Evernote fiend.
Yeah, and I think the people who use it are really, really, really keen on it. So that's always a good sign that if you've got kind of that passionate community there. And I think that's almost kind of, it's more of an app where you have an app on your phone or a kind of a bookmarklet on your browser that if there's ever something you want to read again in the future or refer back to, you do that. So I imagine in some ways that's probably similar to how Michael's using Backpack there from that point of view. And I think with all of these, it's systems. And, you know, you just need to choose a system and stick with it and kind of follow through. In terms of one thing that's worth mentioning on Delicious that I've done that is really, really, really helped me keep track of things that I found useful in the past is, it's called, I'll drop a link in the show notes, it's called Packratius.
Packratius?
Yeah, well, I think you use like .us, so it's Packrat, Us for some reason. Yeah. I don't know quite why it's got that name. But essentially what it is, it's an application for Twitter that you kind of just grant access to your profile. And then what it does is it automatically delicious bookmarks everything that you share on Twitter. Now, it doesn't do any of the tagging for you. It just adds one tag, like via Pack Rat. But it's amazing how many times that saved me hours trying to find a tool where it's like, I'm sure I tweeted about this. And Twitter is absolutely terrible for searching to find things you or someone else has said in the past. So it just keeps track of all the links that I share there in Delicious that I could go back. Now, what it hasn't got is that tagging. So you don't have the system. It's just kind of a big unsorted pile of links that you've done. But if I was more disciplined and more organized, what I ought to do is maybe say once a month, you go through all those ones you've shared on Twitter and then kind of categorize them in some way, shape or form. Other good things to do is the old Moleskin, the old hipster PDA there, where you've got kind of a hard copy paper one. And I think that can work really well as well, because it always seems to me that the best ideas or the most inventive ones come to me when I'm on the underground, or I've got a flat battery on my phone, or I'm in a meeting, and you to make a note on your phone would be rude, but to make it on paper somehow isn't rude. I don't know quite how that works. It's a difficult one, and different people will work with different systems. If you've not got on a backpack, try Evernote. I use Delicious, and we also have kind of an internal system that we use that's based on Delicious, where if a person within the team tags something using a certain tag, that will then go around to everyone in the team, and it kind of automatically emails everyone, and they can. So that's quite useful for where if I find a tool that I think Graham, who I work with, would find interesting, I send that and it goes to everyone in the office. Graham can do the same, and you know, Joe and all the various people that I work with can do that, and then we can all go back and search that on Delicious by using that tag as kind of a restricted search there. So different systems will work for everyone else. Mine's a Delicious one. Sounds like quite a few people are using Evernote. I've not used Backpack, but if it's not working for Michael, try something else, because managing ideas is the challenge. And I don't think there's anything that anyone ever trains you to do.
I always remember, and I forget who the original author was that spoke about this, but whoever it was, he spoke about your external cortex.
Okay.
And he was a big fan of like a wiki. Mm. So you might have there's loads of software that gives you a personal wiki, so you can like produce web pages and hyperlink them. So it can be a very nice way of keeping notes, but I agree with you about paper notes. I mean, I have an A4 day book, and just everything goes in there. And the thing about paper is you kind of have a sort of like photographic memory of where you've written something on a page. So you have an image of the page. Oh, where did I put that bloke's name? And you you sort of have a memory of it where it was on the page, and you just flip back and you can see it.
And what I found, I mean, I don't use paper quite as much now as I did maybe a couple of years ago, but it was quite funny when we had a bit of an office renovation. And so I was going through my, you know, kind of pedestal, you call them, kind of chest of drawers things that I have under my desk. And I had all my notes back from, you know, 2006, 2007. And it's quite interesting seeing some of the things I was doing and some of the ideas I had then. And, you know, some of these things that you kind of now see are great companies running, that if only I'd pulled my finger out and set up a company like that, we would have been millionaires by now, Andy, some of these things that were on our pads from back in the day.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, should we move on to the next question as he slides the paper away and making a papery noise? This is from Cornelius Fitchner. I think I got that name right. Have you chosen his name specially for me today?
No. Cornelius is a regular reader. I think he's asked a couple of questions in the past. So
excellent.
I think it's one where I always try to throw him in to get you to make mistakes on the names there, Andy. I know that's always we love the Q&A, but the hardest thing is not pronouncing people's names wrong. So, yeah.
Well, here's a nice technical question.
Yep.
Kelvin, I noticed that you switched your Clockwork Pirates ebook giveaway from www.paywithatweet.com over to www.cloudflood.com. Why did you make the switch? Until next time, Cornelius Fitchner.
It's an interesting question and very well spotted. So just to recap for people who might not kind of know the full backstory on this, that probably 3 or 4 months ago now, I released a ebook called Becoming a Clockwork Pirate, which was about how to build links to your website and how to build links that help you do better in SEO and also to a lesser degree in social media as well. And I tried an interesting experiment when I was releasing the book, because traditionally the way you would do this with a free ebook is you either just make it a PDF that anyone can download, or you have some kind of email capture form. And then lots of people in the kind of get rich online would tell you to do the email capture form and then you can spam people afterwards. And that was never really my intention on this. I didn't want to collect email addresses. I just wanted to share some ideas that I thought were interesting and I thought were useful. And being a little bit of a tarty ego thing, it was nice to see people talking about it as well. So I was like, well, what could I do that would be different and more interesting than just putting up a PDF that people can download? And I came across an interesting technology called payovertweet.com, and it's set up by a creative duo from Germany who I think are living in New York now, called Innovative Thunder. I think it's the name of the kind of duo or company behind that. And they had this simple idea that you can make things available for free, but people have to invest a little bit of social capital in it. So you benefit that they share your content, and it doesn't really cost them the same as it would if it was a financial commitment. So the idea is lots of people have been giving singles away, like MP3 downloads and ebooks and, you know, free beer voucher tokens and that type of thing. They've been using that on PayOverTweet. I found it really interesting, and particularly because it allowed the book to spread. So every person who downloaded it, in the process of downloading it, told their friends about it. And it's amazing how quickly that extrapolated, because although I did announce it here on the podcast, I actually started it with a bit of a soft launch and just told three or four of my friends who all downloaded it, which then went out to all of their friends, and it kind of extrapolated from there. And it's, you know, been, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people downloaded it over the time, which, considering someone's got a tweet to do that, I was quite chuffed with. But I changed over to Cloudflood. Now, Cloudflood's interesting because it's developed by, I suppose, an internet friend of mine called Glenn Alsop of ViperChill.com, who's a little bit in the kind of make money online sector and all that type of thing. Now, he saw what I did with the Clockwork Pirate book, with the PayOverTweet, really liked it, used PayOverTweet on his own kind of ebook. Yep. Really liked it, but like me, saw some of the flaws in that system, and then created his own one and is now allowing people to use that, which is Cloudflood. Now, the advantages of Cloudflood over PayOverTweet are a few. There's a few of them. First of all, PayOverTweet was always just a proof of concept by Innovative Funder. It was never really intended to be a proper product. So, you know, no disrespect to them. They kind of launched this as a bit of a, you know, like a hobby thing. It was never intended to be kind of put up to huge use by lots of different people, and there were some flaws in it. So, for example, it allows you to do it with a tweet, but also with a Facebook like. Nobody who downloaded the book with Facebook could get it to work properly, so that was pretty embarrassing. I had people emailing me saying, well, I've liked it on Facebook, but I've not got the download, what can you do about it? And, you know, that didn't work very well. And also, PayOverTweet took you to a page that had an advert on it as an intermediate step, so that was a little bit off-brand. And you couldn't really style the button in any particular way, shape or form. Now, Cloudflood takes away that step of the advert in there, and it allows you to style in your own way.
So does it do the same thing, Calvin? Does it go, you'll have to basically tweet out?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yes, so in order to use Cloudflood allows you, and this is where it's interesting to the listeners, is if you've got an asset that you can deliver digitally, so be it a voucher or an ebook or any of those things, you can exchange that asset for some social coverage in a very natural way, where you say you get it for free if you tell your friends about it. And so, yeah, I mean, I still like PayOverTweet. I still think the guys behind it are an absolute genius for coming up with it. But I think Cloudflood's probably a little bit more of a stable and practical and thought out solution to that problem.
Nice one. And it's working well for you?
Yeah, I mean, it, to be honest, the Cloudflood, because I added it after the initial launch, I don't think it's seen the same volume because it wasn't put under the same pressure because it's been like the tail end of it.
It's missed the sort of lump at the front.
So I don't know for definite, but it does seem to be a very stable tool. So yeah, it's cloudflood.com is the new one. And of course, if you've missed the book in the past, you can get it for a tweet or a Facebook like at clockworkpirate.com, or there's links in the show notes and that kind of thing as well.
Get the book. Right, let's go on to the third and final question.
Yeah.
This is from, at last, somebody whose name is easy to read, Todd Rigdon, from somewhere that I don't know again. Right, now, hello, Calvin. Great show. Love the podcasts. I know you have a membership site and I'm finalising the content for mine. Can you tell me what platform you're using? My blog is on WordPress and I've seen a few plugins, but not sure what the best approach is. One person told me I should switch from WordPress to Joomla. Any insight would be great. Thank you. Tom Rigdon.
Yeah, there's quite a few options out there. I think we've mentioned this a little bit in the past, so apologies to people who've heard us talk about it before, but it is a good question in terms of what's the best solution out there if you're trying to set up a membership website, because that does seem to be very much a growing trend in the world of digital businesses, charge people to access premium content.
It's a nice business model as well.
Yeah, it can work quite well. It's a whole separate debate about the benefits of how they work and that. But in terms of the platform that we used SubHub, which is a kind of off-the-shelf solution, which you pay a very modest fee monthly. And it's a CMS. You can upload your content. You specify whether something's behind the paywall or in front of the paywall.
Yeah.
And they handle all the payments via PayPal and all that type of thing. Very, very easy to set up system. Unfortunately, they are in the process of updating their systems, and it's kind of got a little bit neglected, which is a little bit of a shame. When the new one launches, it'll be very, very powerful based on the latest version of Drupal, but their own OEM version that's there in the background, so they're personalized bespoke system that they've got is creaking a little bit, and some of the functionality like the forums are just, it's a shame it doesn't work as well as it should do. But if you want to launch a membership website with a minimum fuss, definitely SubHub's the way to go.
Okay, so that's SubHub.
But you're then not, if you're not doing that, you're looking at some of the other options, which are the WordPress plugins, which it sounds like was what was being explored here. Now there's two of those that I really know of any kind of level of knowledge, and that's MemberWing, which I like. It's a bit basic, but it does the job. It's a cheap and cheerful solution too.
Do you have to pay for it, or is it free?
I think MemberWing's, there's a fee, but it's not a substantial fee.
Okay,
it's relatively small. And then the other one's called Wishlist Member. I think if you search for Wishlist Member, you'll be able to find that. Again, I'll drop a link in the show notes, which is a little bit more fully formed as a plugin. And there's quite a big developer community behind that. So I know there's a couple of listeners to the show actually who are Wishlist approved developers. So they kind of just build membership websites on WordPress using this plugin. That's very exciting. And if I were to start again, I'd probably look at that as a solution on WordPress. Not as familiar with those available for Joomla, but Joomla really seems to be having a bit of in my perception anyway, a bit of a fall from grace at the moment, that everyone's either about WordPress or Drupal, and Joomla seems a little bit forgotten. Whether that's just
that's the impression I get. I mean, I looked at Joomla years ago. It used to be something else, didn't it? I'd completely forgotten what it used to be. And then it's sort of, I'm not sure. I don't hear as many people talking about it these days.
It's certainly not got the same sense of momentum. Now, whether that's justified or not, that's definitely the case. So I love WordPress. We know we all love WordPress. Some of you probably think we're on the payroll there, how much we talk about them, but we're not. But it's a very good content management system. It's got lots of plugins that allow you to get things like SEO and social media bookmark buttons and stuff sorted. I think you'd have to have a very strong justification not to use WordPress. And then you're faced with using the plugins, and then MemberWing or Wishlist Member are the two options. Although I've not used it extensively because we've used SubHub in the past, if I were to choose one, I would go for Wishlist.
I've heard good reports about Wishlist Member, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is it's one of the options that certainly should be taken seriously.
Right, well, that wraps it. So that's the three questions for today. I think we've got a bit of a backlog of questions, haven't we, Kelvin? So
yeah,
I think next two or three episodes might be questions and
answers. Yeah, I think we're kind of almost going to have a month of Q&As, as it were. So that's really good and exciting. But do keep them coming. We like to answer them in the show. I know that they're really useful. If you've got a question, you can ping me an email. It's Kelvin, so that's K-E-L-V-I-N, .Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N, at sitevisibility.com. Of course, that will be in the show notes. We also have a lovely phone number that Andy reads out at the end of every show that we can never remember because Andy has to read it from a bit of paper. And if you ring that phone number, you can leave a voicemail for us and we'll actually use your audio in the show. That works really, really well. So I encourage people, if you've got a question, to leave it like that. And there will be hopefully some exciting news in a couple of weeks' time about another way potentially to kind of ask some questions as well. But I'll leave you hanging on what that might be.
Or even I don't know what Kelvin's on about.
It's a big plan. No, not a big plan, but an interesting thing that, Q&A, I think, is something that we can really help people out with. So, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I've been Andy White. That's a goodbye from me.
And toodle pip from me, Mr. Kelvin Newman.
Bye-bye, everyone. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening.
You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run FutureTools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of Lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.